Hello, and welcome to the Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast. Today's topic, parenting in the age of Trump and other challenging role models.
And thank you to the Charles Englehart Foundation and NPEN.org for their support of this podcast. And due to the content of today's show, I should emphasize that although we quote and reference the work of others, overall, the views expressed here are solely the product of Dr. Sarah Polinchek and Dr. John Summers Flanagan. And today's show, like everything, might include some sensitive language.
For some reason, John, I'm pulled to say something a little snarky because I just feel that with you sometimes.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I'm finding that this topic feels a little heavy for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be a little more somber. You know, I have two teenage boys and I feel afraid a lot of the time, really. And I realize I've become even more, perhaps, over the top with my intention and the way I'm trying to counteract some of the influences from our leadership.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I know as we prepared for this, I had written in some funny things for both of us to say. And instead, I think we're going to take a little more serious approach to this because it's just really important for us to treat this topic, I think, without getting too many of our issues involved in it. Mm-hmm. But what's really important is that there's so much stuff in the media right now, mm-hmm. probably more than ever, right? Not just coming from Donald Trump, but coming from comedians in the sports, mm-hmm. right? We have a lot of stuff in the sports right now that includes some really provocative language and positions. It's really perpetuated in the comedy shows at night.
Yeah.
People repeating things. There was the woman, Kathy
Griffin.
Thank you for that, who showed a picture of Donald Trump's head severed. Mm-hmm. All these things are coming right into our households, right through the media. And the media, I think, is reporting all of it mm-hmm. and kind of preoccupied with it. But then that leaks into our families, and yeah. we become kind of preoccupied with it
yeah,
and have to deal with it.
It's permeating almost everything, wouldn't you say? Because also it's in the weather.
It's in the weather, right?
Yeah.
You can't talk about hurricanes
right.
or climate or the weather without even getting into political positions
yeah.
and some really strong language and name-calling, right?
Right. It feels really heavy. And, you know, so that's why we're doing this podcast is because many of the behaviors, the actions, the statements and decisions made, you know, by the current administration and a lot of other role models right now are in direct opposition to the core values that many of us are trying to instill with our children and our families. In 2014, the Pew Research Center conducted a study on the most common values mm-hmm. in America. So these aren't necessarily ours. These are just,
okay.
it's not the inclusive list either. But some of those values were good manners, independence, responsibility, empathy, tolerance, compassion, humility, honesty. So I think about that list of values that most Americans say that they value mm-hmm. and want to have in their families. And again, it's in direct opposition to these messages that we're getting in almost every facet of our lives.
Right. I've heard people say, I would not let a 10-year-old in my family get away with some of the things that have been said by certain political figures.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what we suggest. And I have an idea. And so if it's okay with you, Sarah, I'm just going to throw it out there.
Yeah.
My idea is that everything Donald Trump says, including grab them by the pussy, mm-hmm. and everything other people say, and I can think of many other people, you know, Scaramucci, who was very briefly the communications director for the White House, Kathy Griffin, as I mentioned before, mm-hmm. a person who is a comedian, Stephen Colbert said a horrendous thing. And these are statements that then get bounced into, it's not just the late night stuff, it gets bounced right into the daytime media broadcasts. And I say, let's just see these expressions, these statements that we would not advocate having our children say. Let's just take those as an opportunity. Let's carpe diem. Let's seize the day and say, what can we do? How can we talk about these things in a way that actually promotes positive values in our families?
Yeah, we have to be able to look at this in a different way as maybe opportunities because really these messages are permeating Mm-hmm. Everywhere.
Right. And what better to really teach our children some lessons about what's acceptable language, mm-hmm. what's acceptable to say, what's an acceptable attitude, than to actually see some people who are challenging role models, mm-hmm. who are saying things, and the media is repeating, that are not the kind of values we would want our children to adopt and live by.
Mm-hmm. And I think now we have to do it with even more intention, because it used to be that you could protect even younger kids from some of the messages, and I think that's gotten a lot harder. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I think it's impossible to really protect the kids from the messages.
Yeah.
If they don't hear them from us, they're going to hear them at school,
yeah.
from their friends, from teachers even sometimes,
yeah.
from their friends' parents. It's just leaking out
everywhere. It's just everywhere. Yeah.
Now, we had a discussion before when we were talking about this particular episode, and you said that you really find it important for yourself to not act like you're superior to the people who are saying the outrageous, challenging role model statements in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very nuanced, because I think I'm finding that while even a year ago I might make fun of a leader who was acting in a really bad way,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm finding that no, I really have to act better than that. It feels really serious to me that instead of calling these people names or doing, you know, I'm pulled to do that, if I'm honest,
right.
I am, but especially in front of my kids, I have to talk with them about, why do you think he's saying these things? What do you think happened to him as a child that maybe he's reacting with such defensiveness? What's going on here? And having some of those kinds of conversations.
Yeah, so instead of being condescending mm-hmm. or looking down on that, it sounds like with your boys, what you're trying to do is to help them to understand the behavior
mm-hmm.
and where that behavior might come from.
Yeah.
It's obviously, in your home, unacceptable behavior. It sounds like you're trying to make an effort not to be condescending, not to act like, oh, well, somehow you're better. It's a tricky thing.
And it's hard to talk about. It is tricky. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I know no one is a perfect role model.
Right.
Right? We're not perfect role models. All parents make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember my parents making mistakes. I can remember myself making mistakes. I can remember, well, even my wife maybe making a mistake,
oh.
although I would not mention that to her. And so we're not always perfect role models.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if maybe we should each, as a way of not being superior, at least kind of mention some of the less positive things that we have done as parents that maybe our children heard, and consequently, we weren't great role models.
Yeah. So, you know, I have two teenagers, and they mm-hmm. love to find when I do something that I have taught them not to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I've mentioned this on the show many times, but contempt,
mm-hmm.
communicating with contempt, is one of the things that we just have no tolerance for. And contempt includes any kind of communication where you're coming from a place of superiority, calling names, eye-rolling, mocking, any of those kinds of things. And like I was saying earlier, when I'm hearing some of these behaviors from the leaders,
mm-hmm.
I sometimes will roll my eyes or say something, and I've been busted.
Mm.
Well, Mom, you're doing exactly what you teach us not to do.
You roll your eyes at your kids?
I know. I roll my eyes at what I'm hearing in the media.
Ah.
Or I've said worse, actually, if I'm really
sure.
honest. And then I get caught because I am doing exactly what I'm teaching my kids not to do, and I'm doing exactly what I dislike from the leaders.
So easy to be a hypocrite, right?
It's so easy. Tricky.
And so here's the thing that's even easier for your kids to catch you at.
Oh,
it.
They
it's
love
like
it.
They're it's like, you know, you can be perfect 99.9% of the time, and then that 1/10 of 1% or whatever.
And they're
whatever,
always right there during that 1/10 of 1%.
They see it,
yeah.
And they do not just let it go.
They don't.
Children.
So what about you? Have you ever modeled anything less than stellar?
Never.
You
know, I'd say my problem is usually being overreactive.
Mm-hmm.
Overreactive. I know I talk like I'm not overreactive on this show. I act like I'm, oh yeah, I can handle whatever. But, you know, I remember one of my daughters criticizing how fast I was driving, that I was driving too mm-hmm. slow. And she was like leaning over and looking at how fast the speedometer. And I remember being so angry and defensive, like, rrr. It's like, geez, you know, I'm overreacting. I remember, you know, my younger daughter disappointed about some holiday celebration. And instead of me being able to focus in on her disappointment about the holiday celebration, I just got all defensive about our holiday celebrations. Mm. Right?
I'm hearing the defensiveness.
Yeah. And I see that in myself, and I think that's something that I would like to do better still.
Mm-hmm.
I still do that.
What I'm hearing you say
great,
is that you see yourself as a work in progress and you're trying to do better. I mean, isn't that what we want to? That's a good value to have, that we're striving towards.
And let me just say, off the record, that I've shared one small thing that I'm striving to improve. And I'm pretty sure there are several others that I'm striving to improve. And there are some that I'm not yet aware of.
I, later off the record, will help you out with that, John.
Oh no. Off the record. Anyway, it's so easy to be, I think, as a parent, embarrassed by my own behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just give you an example of something that you might hear on the media or that was heard maybe a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say your teenage son comes home and tells you that oral sex isn't really sex because he heard that from a previous president. What's your reaction?
You know, honestly, mm-hmm. my reaction would be to get curious about that and to have a conversation from a place of curiosity. What mm-hmm. do you think about that? Why might he be making a statement that's, you know, all about oral sex not being the same thing as sex? What is that all about? I think those are the kinds of conversations I would have.
Your response is a little disappointing to me, Sarah, because I'd hoped for more of a reactive thing, like, don't you talk that way in this house, or something like that, or that's wrong. And I really like that curiosity stance. What I was going to say was to respond with things like, wow, you know, how cool is it that you're paying attention to current events?
Mm-hmm.
And then say, well, how does that fit with what you've thought before? And what are the pros and the cons of that perspective? And can you think of any problems that might occur as a function of holding that view?
Mm-hmm.
And so getting into that kind of a discussion, similar to what you were saying, being curious.
So I see what you're doing, getting into a discussion here and trying mm-hmm. to get your child to talk about both sides of
mm-hmm.
the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the benefit of that?
The truth is that obviously as a parent, I have an opinion about what the definition of sex is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I want to give that to my child. And it's really easy for me to just kind of supersede anything that my child might be thinking and just say, oh, wait a minute, that's wrong.
Yeah.
But the research shows that if you engage kids in discussion where they get to think about and discuss both sides of an issue, that actually stimulates their moral development. It helps them become more moral and ethical thinkers because they're able to think through the pros and the cons, and you're not just shutting them down and saying, that's a stupid thing. Whoever said that was saying a stupid thing, and I don't want you to think that stupid thing.
Yeah, like just spoon-feeding our thoughts into our kids.
Right. It's sort of preemptive and not letting them think, well, and the fact is they're going to think anyway.
Yeah.
And then one of the reactions will be, gosh, my mom or my dad or my caretaker sure is overreacting to that. And so maybe that gives me more attention. Maybe I'll even talk about it more. Mm-hmm. And so your overreaction, I think an overreaction is probably not good.
Yeah. So I get that, and I mm-hmm. totally agree with you. But what if even after these discussions, I mean, to be honest, we do want our kids to adopt our values. And what if in these discussions they come away and they think, oh, I am more convinced that oral sex doesn't count, for example.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's tough.
Yeah.
Obviously, we want to be able to make our point at the end. I think we want to make our point briefly rather than a long lecture. And I think it's okay for you to say, yeah, to your son or daughter. Okay, I see your point. I'm glad that you have given me your reasoning. But let me just say, mm-hmm. and this is sort of a little bit of a snarky thing, but let me just say, you're not the president. You're not a rock star. You're not a comedian who's doing late night shows. And so for this house and the attitude that we want and the values that we have here,
mm-hmm.
that statement is unacceptable. And so you might just draw the line there. Now, again, I'm saying draw the line after you've had some discussion and you've looked at both sides of the issue and you've maybe picked it apart and tried to get your kid to actually see your perspective in a less direct way.
Yeah. I think that's the better way to start. Here's just another statement that mm-hmm. came out very recently in the media that the NFL, the National Football League, mm-hmm. and those who are taking a knee during the national anthem are sons of bitches. So that definitely falls under the umbrella of contempt. So we're name calling.
Right.
And
I didn't know you were actually going to say that. Maybe we'll have to beep that out. Yeah. But that is what was
but
said.
When we isn't that a good point that when we're talking about quotes from leadership and we have to beep out their quotes on our podcast, that's telling, isn't it?
That is telling.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we have is we have an audio clip from a video interview that was broadcast on ESPN. And this is Dolphin safety Michael Thomas. He is talking about his reaction to, apparently somebody asked him, his reaction mm-hmm. to what Donald Trump said, that SOB comment mm-hmm. that you quoted. So here's the clip.
It just amazes me with everything else that's going on in this world, especially involving the U.S. That's what you're concerned about, my man. You're the leader of the free world. This what you're talking about. So it, as a man, as a father, as an African-American man, as somebody in the NFL, as one of those sons of bitches, you know, like, yeah, I took it personally, but at the same time, like I said in my Twitter post, it's bigger than me, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's bigger than me. I got a daughter. She gonna have to live in this world. You know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna do whatever I gotta do to make sure, you know, she can look at my dad, look at her dad and be like, hey, you did something, you tried to make a change. You feel me?
So I'm not sure if you can tell, but he was getting a little choked up there. And what choked him up was when he started to talk about his daughter.
Yeah.
And he has a daughter. She's gonna have to live in the world, and he wants her to see him as having made an important stand. And I think the important stand that he's talking about is social justice and an anti-racism stance, which I think is the viewpoint of the people who are taking a knee, kneeling during or before the national anthem. And so for him, it became very personal. It was about his daughter.
Mm-hmm. So when listening to Michael Thomas, I was just thinking, you know, he's taking a stand and doing something with intention. And I'm just thinking, so what are the rest of us going to do? Because we don't play in the NFL and can't mm-hmm. make a big national statement like that. Mm-hmm. But what can we do in our own homes? We need to bring this back. And
right. Well, you know, one thing that just immediately comes to mind is that a lot of this is a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just sort of starts to flood into and take over a lot of the discourse or the conversation in the family. And so I would say, well, how do you live out your values? And, you know, sometimes we just have to ignore some things that are on the media.
Yeah.
So if you have a value that you want to reach out and be a positive force in the world, then maybe you can say, all right, we're going to do some volunteer work together.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go down to the food bank. We're going to stock some shelves. We're going to serve some people who maybe are having some hard times in their lives.
Yeah.
And so I think that could be a value that you can take an action on, and it sort of gets away from that distracting, negative name-calling message that we keep hearing in the media over and over.
Definitely. And I think that's what I would encourage parents to do, is get really clear right now about what their values are. Because although I read some from the research center, mm-hmm. everybody's are a little bit different.
Right.
And get really clear about what yours are and think about how are you intentionally instilling those despite all of these distractions and messages that we're getting. And I think we have to bring our A game right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thought I had is, a lot of the statements that are made by politicians, by comedians about the weather, mm-hmm. they're very dividing. Mm-hmm. And they're dividing in that people take sides, mm-hmm. right? And so I think one of the things, and even when it comes to race, right? There's a lot of racial division happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that we need to make intentional efforts to reach across the divide. And that would even include political parties, and that I want to try to connect with some of my conservative friends.
Mm-hmm.
I want to connect with my liberal friends. I want to connect with people who are maybe more extreme than I am on both of those ends of the mm-hmm. continuum. I also want to, and I remember one of my former Native American students saying this at a workshop. She was asked, well, what can we do at this hospital to make things better for the Native American patients? How can we understand their needs? And so she said, get Native American friends, which to me is like, wow, what a cool idea. We should actually have friends mm-hmm. who are different than us, who are from a different race, who have different cultural ideas and practices, mm-hmm. and that by making those connections just probably makes us better people.
And I couldn't agree more, and I want to admit that my inclination sometimes is to move away mm-hmm. from people who think things differently than I do.
Right.
And I'm really feeling like I have to fight that inclination and move towards and seek deeper understanding.
Right. It's like that's the politics of the day.
Yeah.
Is that we polarize.
Yeah. Yep.
We polarize everything, and the media contributes to that. They really love it, I think, when people get into fights over very extreme perspectives. Well, mm-hmm. to be honest, Sarah, most of us are in the middle. Most of us are in the middle. We would like to raise kids that are honest and healthy and happy and who treat others with respect, including us.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some really core values, some of the ones that you read and more, that we can actively teach in reaction to the media, but we can also actively teach it aside from the media because those are our family values and that's the way we want to live.
Definitely. I think it's time for our money tips.
Money tips.
That's the place in this podcast where we give you advice that's equivalent, more or less, to $100.
$100. That's mm-hmm. cool. So my money tip is really what I already said, to discuss and explore the content with your kids. Seize the day, seize the opportunity mm-hmm. to discuss something important. There's really no need to shut down the issues. Why not talk about them? Mm-hmm. It's better for you as a parent to talk about those issues with your kids than for them to go out in the streets and talk about somebody else. And so I wonder, where do morals and ethics come from? I think they come really a lot from parents and kids engaging in active discussion and living in ways that they believe are moral and mm-hmm. ethical.
Okay, good. So my tip, and I've already said this one also, mm-hmm. is to go back and make that list, post it somewhere so that everyone in your family sees that list, and then really think about intentional ways that you can bring that list of values into your home every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to state mine here, which is a big one for us. It's on the top of the list, is compassion. And I think when we can have compassion for people, even if we vehemently disagree with their behaviors and who mm-hmm. the things that they're doing and yeah. the decisions they're making, if we can have compassion in those cases, I think that's going to go a long way.
All right. I got another $100 too.
All right.
That's a surprise, I
okay,
know.
Yeah.
I think we need to be prepared. You know, I talked about how sometimes as a parent, one of my deficiencies is I'm overreactive.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be overreactive to the media as well as I can be to
Me
my daughters.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think we want to practice with our partners, with our friends, with a parenting support group, and other people who we respect. How are we going to react to this? And so that we're not just reacting cold,
mm-hmm.
but we've prepared ourselves to react in a constructive way to some of the destructive messages that we hear.
I like that. I'm glad for the surprise extra $100 there.
All right.
So now it's time to talk about our resources.
Yes, it is.
You know, my recommendation is going to be one that I've already given.
Oh.
I'm going to again recommend the Mindfulness Parenting.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that there are so many messages that we are getting so much negativity and hostility and aggressive behavior that's coming from all places
mm-hmm.
that I think to keep our own center, okay?
Yeah.
So if we can really go to that place of trying to stay mindful, I think that's going to make our ability to do all the things we've suggested today much better.
Sounds pretty darn cool. Thank you, Sarah. And my resource tip is a book. The title is, How Do I Explain This to My Kids? Parenting in the Age of Trump.
That's good.
And it's written by a couple of people who are child educators. And it's really an edited volume where there are a number of essays in it about how parents are reacting to some of the outrageous things mm-hmm. that Donald Trump says. And I gotta say, it's probably a reading that will resonate more with people who have liberal views and who find themselves offended by the kinds of things that Trump has said and continues to say. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are some other resources out there, and I just don't have any others, and I'm gonna stop talking now.
Okay, and it's time for us to sign off.
Thanks again to the Charles Englehart Foundation and to NPEN.org and to Sarah Polinchek for being my fellow podcaster and for sharing her inappropriate parenting behaviors.
As always, thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back. In the meantime, feel free to email or post on our Facebook page. You can post questions or ideas for new shows or complaints or compliments, all respectful, please.
Yes. And because we're new at this podcasting thing and responding to posts and emails, sometimes it might take us a bit to respond. Please have patience until we find a big benefactor to support us to live at the level that we think we deserve. Right now, the podcast is really something we're doing in our spare time, which in my humble opinion, IMHO, is a fantastic way to spend our spare time. So thanks for listening.
Thank you, John. The Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast is sponsored in part by the Charles Englehart Foundation, audio engineer Mike Matthews, production assistant Joey Moore, and co-hosts Sarah Polinchek and John Summers Flanagan.